We're speaking with Eddie Lepp, and it's been a long time coming to speak to you, Eddie, because you kind of were there at the time I got started in marijuana activism. It was the Portland Hemp Stock. I have this picture of you and Pony Boy and Madeline Martinez, and then you were a free man. Just tell folks again what you went through as far as from that moment I met you and what you were doing there in California that led to where you are now.
Well, as you know, I'm a Rastafarian minister, and through our church, my wife, Linda Sentai, who has passed away prior to my going into prison, through our church, we furnished land for cancer and AIDS patients and other people approved by the state of California for medical use to grow their medicine.
And this is back, what, when did you get started? 2005, 6, somewhere around there?
Actually, we started in 2000 is when we first started doing it. It just got bigger with time. And, you know, by 2004, it was, you know, 32,524 plants is what they say they took out of the gardens when they raided us in 2004.
And this was, it wasn't exactly like you were hiding what you were doing. It was right there, you know, within, you could see it from the roadway, couldn't you?
Well, actually, Highway 20, which is the main connecting highway between Interstate 5 and Highway 101 north of San Francisco, ran right through the property, right almost through the middle of it. And the main garden was on one side of the road, which was about 23 acres. And then there were other gardens on the other side of the road, which were up by the main house.
And this was in Northern California. How were the state and county officials dealing with this?
Well, I was the first person arrested, tried, and acquitted in the state of California under Proposition 215. Other decisions, the Trippett decision, for example, Pebbles Trippett had been arrested prior to 215, transporting a couple of pounds for medicinal and spiritual use, but she was convicted at trial anyway. But when it was in front of the appellate court, 215 had passed. And so the appellate court overturned the lower court's conviction. And so Pebble was a major milestone for 215 because it made it legal to transport 2 pounds of marijuana in the state of California, which a lot of people aren't aware of. But as far as, you know, actually being arrested under 215, tried under 215, and acquitted under 215, I was the first case.
So you're doing everything above board as far as the state of California or local authorities are concerned, but it's the federal government that's got a problem.
Right. We actually found out while I was going to trial that the reason the federal government got involved was because the local sheriff called him and told him, hey, he's not breaking any state laws. We want you guys to come in.
Aha. Couldn't get you their way, so they brought in the federal government to get around Prop 215, basically.
Every year in January, we sent a letter, a formal notice, all certified mail and everything, to each member of the Board of Supervisors, the County Council, the District Attorney, the local sheriff. And the last year or two that we did it, we also sent it to the Attorney General of the State of California and the Governor of the State of California, which at that time was Arnold. And we notified them and with complete legal descriptions, who we were, what we were doing, where we were doing it, explaining that we were growing marijuana for both medical and spiritual purposes, and that everybody that planted plants in the garden had a valid California medical marijuana card. You didn't have to grow marijuana or use cannabis to be a member of the ministry, but you had to be a member of the ministry in order to grow medical marijuana, and you had to have a valid California 215 card. It wasn't like we just let anybody come in and participate. We very carefully screened everybody and saw to it that we were in full compliance with state law. Mm-hmm. And the letter that we sent everybody made it very clear that we did not want any conflict, that it was not our intention to break the law, and that if they had any problems with what we were doing, to please notify either my criminal attorney, my civil attorney, or notify the ministry. And in all the years that we sent the letter, not once was it ever answered by anybody. No one ever replied to it. And so we therefore figured that, you know, we're not breaking any laws, which, as I said earlier, it seems to be the case, because we were told that the reason the feds came as was because the local sheriff brought them in because he couldn't arrest us.
Mm. So you're arrested, you're taken to trial by the feds. They get what exactly was the conviction and the sentence in your case?
Well, originally I was looking at 4 life sentences plus 40 years and $17 million in fines on 6 or 7 different charges.
Wow.
The judge threw all of the search warrants out of court completely and totally, and threw 4 of the charges out. And what I actually was convicted of was conspiracy to manufacture a controlled substance, which is growing marijuana, and conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance, which was the marijuana. I received no fine, and I received a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence, which, you know, was a long, almost near, it'll be over 8 years. By the time I get out of the halfway house, it'll be like 8 years and 2 months that I've been in custody of the Bureau of Prisons.
Yeah.
So it's been a long ride.
It sure has. And literally a long ride, as I understand, because they take you to different places around the country. Tell folks some of the places you were incarcerated.
Well, I originally surrendered myself to Lompoc at the Lowell facility there, and they should have immediately sent me to the camp, but they didn't. I ended up being there almost a year, and then I had come up to San Francisco to go back to court, and when I went back from that, the judge sent a letter saying, why isn't he in the camp? And they transferred me to the camp there at Lompoc, where I spent nearly 2 years. And then I got written up for use of the mail other than an illegal purpose. And they have what they call a DHO, a disciplinary hearing officer, who heard the case. And he determined that there was absolutely no evidence of any wrongdoing and expunged all the charges. But I got transferred on what they call a management veritable anyway, and got sent to a low facility, which you're supposed to have like 11 points to be in a low, and I had 0 points, but I spent 2 years there anyway, and finally was transferred back to a camp, and I spent the last 3 years in Florence, which is the high security prison where they keep the Boston bomber and Krasinski and all of those kind of people.
Which states are these? Are these all California, or which locations are these in?
Lompoc's in California. Latuna is in El Paso, Texas. And the federal prison in Florence, Colorado, is right there at the little town of Florence, which is about 20 miles south of Pueblo, which I thought kind of funny, because by the time I got there, Colorado had legalized marijuana.
Right.
And I wasn't there, very short amount of time. and my dear friend Tommy Chong became partners with a gentleman that owns one of the retail outlets in Pueblo. And so for the nearly 3 years that I sat there in federal prison over marijuana charges, Tommy Chong, who is an ex-federal prisoner on very similar charges to what I faced, is, you know, a half owner in a retail outlet selling marijuana legally to people from all over the world. So it was, you know, it was kind of ludicrous, but, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the span of time that you were behind bars in these various institutions or at camps and now even in the halfway house has been a remarkable change in how we deal with marijuana commerce throughout the country. And it's become legal now in 8 states to one degree or the other. How does that make you feel? And are you going to do like Tommy and get in on this commercial end of marijuana?
Well, I hope to go back to doing what I've been doing for 20 years mostly, which is being an advocate for the full legalization of hemp as an industrial product. My best friend, the late, great Jack Herrera, and I spent the last 10 years of his life traveling all over the world lecturing and speaking about this. And you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that Jack and I very seldom talked about cannabis or the uses of cannabis. What we talked about mostly was industrial hemp and why it wasn't being used, you know, for the purposes that God intended it. And the most used commodity in products today is sea kelp. And sea kelp's used in between 1,200 and 1,500 products, everything from shoe polish to toothpaste. And it's been estimated that if they had the same freedom to experiment with hemp like they do with sea kelp, that hemp would be in 5,000 to 10,000 products within 2 years and over 25,000 within 5 years. Hmm. So it's truly God's gift to his children. Not just for the spiritual use and the medicinal use, but as an industrial product, it's second to none.
And we've had remarkable change in that area too, with, you know, Colorado's got hemp planted. We got Oregon hemp farmers that I've interviewed and spoken to. They're doing it in Kentucky and some other states. It looks like we're making progress there too. That must warm your heart a bit.
Well, I was speaking with one of the editors from one of the major cannabis magazines in the United States. And, you know, he was just prolific in his praise for me and explained that he certainly understood, having been in the movement a long time, that had it not been for me and Linda Sentai and what we did, that it wouldn't be where it is now. And, you know, I was told time and time again when I was in prison by various prison employees that my problem was I was 15 or 20 years before my time. So it wasn't really a surprise to me because I did see it coming many, many years ago. I knew that the answer, for example, one of the complaints in California was, well, you know, we've got people growing marijuana all over the place. What about all these potential crime scenes, yada, yada? And our answer was, well, let's unite all of these people. Let's put all of these plants in one location with an open door, transparent policy with the local sheriff, which I had, to come out and look around anytime they want to see what's going on, be sure we're on the up and up, and remove those potential crime scenes from society. And we had between 2,500 and 2,800 members to the ministry. And so, you know, you got to look at it that we removed a minimum of 25 up to 2,800 potential crime scenes out of Northern California. Mm-hmm. And we realized that. And, you know, that's what we were trying to accomplish, was not only to help the patients, but actually to help law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we see developing now that marijuana has become, you know, cannabis is this cash crop commodity that's people are wanting it for their tax revenue. People are wanting it to be part of the green rush and make a bunch of money. You came at this as someone who was helping patients, someone with a Rastafarian background. So as you look at this developing industry, are you worried about this profit motive, about this green rush attitude that's happening?
Well, regardless of if I'm worried about it or not, it doesn't really matter. Just as I foresaw what was going to happen 20 years ago, I can foresee what's going to happen now. It is big business, and the big players are trying to get involved all the time. RJ Reynolds is trying to get involved. The Scotts Fertilizer Companies are getting involved. And these are billion-dollar companies. And there's no way to get around it. I mean, America's based on capitalism, and it always has been. So I'm not at all surprised that there are people wanting to make money off of marijuana. Personally, I don't have any trouble with people making money off of marijuana. I mean, you're writing a story. Are you writing it for free? No. You're right.
Well, there's the aspect of we hear from, you know, growers in Northern California and people that have built up this entire economy built around the price of marijuana as a prohibited product, now worried about the price crash that's happening under legalization, as are some states that are depending on that tax revenue.
The thing is this. California and all of these other states that are depending on it as tax revenue, I don't know exactly the word I'm looking for, but it's bullshit. Okay? Marijuana should not be taxed at any higher rate than any other agricultural product. Now, I know that all of the politicians in the world see this as the golden goose laying the golden egg, but they're completely and totally wrong about this. This plant was a gift to his children from Jah. It was not meant to be exploited by man or government. And the fact that they're exploiting it is ridiculous. I think back when California first legalized marijuana through 215, and there was this big hue and cry about everybody having to get a state-issued registration card so that they would be a registered marijuana user. And I can remember telling numerous public officials that I spoke to, look, I will be the first one to get that registered marijuana card for you. But I'll tell you what, even though I'll be the first one in that line, the only way that line's going to form is if I am standing behind the last guy in line that is on opiates. You want to register a recommended or prescribed product like marijuana, fine, we'll do it. But you get a registration card for everybody that's out there that's on pain pills. You get a registration card for everybody out there that's on psychotics. You get a registration card for everybody that's out there using all these other drugs. And I'll be glad to get one for marijuana. But why are you singling out marijuana? Do you have cards for people that go down and buy a six-pack? It's ludicrous, and it's ridiculous, and it's completely and totally in violation of our constitutional rights, and it should not be tolerated or allowed by anybody involved in the marijuana industry. I mean, it's like the banking laws. It's a proven fact that worldwide there are traces of cocaine on between 90 and 100% of all the money that exchanges hands. And yet they overlooked that through the banking and let them carry on their banking. But if it's got marijuana involved, they close the banking doors to them. I mean, the things that I see, the injustices that I see perpetrated against the marijuana community and the movement just are stifling. I mean, it's ridiculous. Alcohol is directly responsible for over 500,000 deaths a year. Tobacco is directly responsible for over 500,000 deaths a year in the United States. And marijuana, that there's never been one overdose death in the history of the plant, is, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It sure is. Speaking of ridiculous, we have a new president. Does that give you any concern, or do you think that the marijuana juggernaut's just too big to stop at this point economically?
I don't think he wants to. I see no reason in the world he'd want to stop it. I mean, Trump don't hang out with congressmen and senators. He buys and sells them. Okay? I mean, I'm just talking historically the way his world runs.
Sure.
He don't hang out with them. He buys and sells them. Now, who does he hang out with? The other guys on the Fortune 500 list, that's who he hangs out with. That's who he eats lunch with. That's who he plays golf with. That's who he goes into business with. As I pointed out earlier, there are all kinds of major national and international corporations getting into the marijuana industry. Why would Trump piss on his friends? Because that's what he's going to have to do if he turns out to be totally anti-marijuana. Personally, I don't see it happening. I think that Mr. Trump may, in fact, be a very good thing for the marijuana industry. Where Obama didn't have the courage to follow up on his campaign promises and do what he said he would do, Trump may very well, in fact, do it. Because it is a cash crop, and it is, because of the way it's regulated, the goose that laid the golden egg. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, you only have to look at Colorado and look at the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been raised in tax revenue for the state of Colorado since the legalization of marijuana to understand why it's popular with the government. It brings in a lot of money.
But there is some concern in these governments that the ability of the consumers to grow their own undercuts that tax revenue. Wouldn't it be in Trump's friends' best interest to kill our home grow rights?
I don't see how.
Okay.
I really don't see how. And I suppose you'd like me to explain that.
Well, if you would.
I would be glad to. Did you ever hear of a little company called Budweiser?
Sure.
Did you ever hear of a little company called Coors?
Yep.
Did you ever hear of a little company called Mogan David?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Correct me if I'm wrong, but are these not fucking multi-billion-dollar goddamn corporations?
They sure are.
Okay. Now, are you aware of the fact that every American in the United States, and I repeat, every American in the United States has the legal right to produce without permits, with no interference from the government in any way, shape, or form, 500 gallons of wine and 500 gallons of beer each, every year.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, Budweiser and Fetzer and Coors and Mogan David and all of these other billion-dollar companies, everybody in the world's got the right to make their own beer and wine, but they're still giant corporations making billions of dollars selling the same product.
Well put.
So I don't see how it can be an issue if Joe Blow is growing six plants in his backyard. They're still going to make their billions. There's no doubt of that. So why would it be a conflict of interest if people are growing their own? I mean, for God's sakes, everybody in the world can grow their own tomatoes. Everybody in the world can grow their own strawberries. Everybody in the world can grow their own potatoes. How many billions upon billions of dollars do you think this country spends on tomatoes, strawberries, and potatoes?
Plenty.
So, again, I'm just, it's hard for me to understand why there's a conflict.
I don't understand it either. I'm just reporting on what has happened. Nevada just passed a law with no home grow within 25 miles of a pot shop. Massachusetts and Maine are talking about trying to pass laws to undercut the home grow rights that just got passed in their initiative. So there are those that are trying to kill the home grow rights.
And I'm not saying that there aren't people trying to kill it. That wasn't what I was saying.
Gotcha. Okay.
You asked a question slightly different than that, and I gave you my answer. Now,
fair enough.
As to what they're doing, I do not agree with it in any way, shape, or form. Again, I will reiterate and go back to what I said earlier. Marijuana should be treated the same as any other agricultural product. It is under the direct control of the Department of Agriculture, where it is listed as a common weed. And you can get the Department of Agriculture's book of plants, and you will find it, I believe, on page 141 or 42. It should not be in the hands of the DEA. It should not be in the hands of Homeland Security or any of these other people that are determining what happens with cannabis. It is registered under the Department of Agriculture and has been forever, as far as I know. And it's still under their domain. If it's listed by the Department of Agriculture and their official handbook is a common weed, do you understand the conflict I'm having trouble with here?
I totally agree with you. Absolutely, Eddie. So right now, as we're speaking now, you're currently serving out the rest of the time in the halfway house. So how are things for you now, and what happens after this?
Well, one of the agreements I had to make with the people here was that I would not discuss the BOP, the halfway house, or the federal government in any of my interviews. Prior to being released in the halfway house, which will be June 3rd, I will say this. It's much nicer in the halfway house than it was in prison. I'm looking forward to going to home confinement in the next 2 weeks, which I am sure will be much nicer than being in the halfway house. And after June 3rd, I will be on straight probation, which I'm sure I will enjoy much more than home detention. The people involved at all of these levels, whether it's BOP or the halfway house or probation or whatever, they're doing the best they can. And I could be very negative and say a lot of bad things about it, but the bottom line is they're overtaxed and understaffed, and, you know, it's a sad situation, but it's the truth of the matter. And, you know, I'll go into more detail perhaps after I am out of BOP custody. But for right now, you know, they're treating me as well as can be expected, and that's all I can expect.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, so what's the timeline? What's the date that you get completely off papers?
Well, that's going to be another issue because there are certain restrictions in my probation as far as me attending events and using marijuana and growing marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. And as you know, I was sentenced 10 years ago, and things were a lot different then.
Yeah.
Right now, there's 30 states that allow marijuana, medical marijuana. And as you pointed out, 6 states, I think, that allow the recreational use of marijuana. And things have changed completely and totally. I believe it's Brubaker Farr Amendment that Congress passed 2 years ago, stating that no DEA money could be spent on prosecuting marijuana patients that were in compliance with state law. And as I pointed out earlier, I was in full compliance with state law. That's why the feds got involved in the first place. So I've spoken to my attorney, Mr. Tully, in Sacramento. And at some point after I'm released from the halfway house and from BOP custody, in other words, sometime after June 3rd, I believe we're going to approach the courts and see what can be done about my use of marijuana, both spiritually and medicinally, provided I don't break any of the laws in the state of California. And I've been told that after 12 months, I can apply to have my probation revoked. And I believe we're going to do that also. You know, I don't make sense to spend one penny, let alone the tens of thousands of dollars they're spending to keep me on probation when I never broke any laws in the first place. And everything the federal government put me in prison for is legal in 30 states now. So,
right.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, we hope for the best. Absolutely. Reverend Eddie Lepp, want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. And we do wish the best for you. Is there anything else you'd like to tell folks or ways they can get in contact with you, send you best wishes or whatever?
I'm on Facebook. You can get a hold of Heidi Grossman on Facebook or myself. And Heidi will see to it I get any and all messages. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get back to people because I'm illiterate. That's E as in Edward, literate. honest to God, when I came out of prison, Heidi gave me this cell phone, and I had to ask her, what do I do?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to turn it on. I didn't know how to access the phone. And she tells me I'm coming along beautifully, learning the phone and how to use it. But the other side of that is that I am illiterate. It's not easy for me at my age to pick this stuff up quickly, even though I'm trying to pick it up. So it sometimes takes me a little while to answer, but they can get a hold of me, like I say, through Sugar Leaf Productions, which is Heidi, or Eddie Lepp, or the Reverend Eddie Lepp on Facebook.
All right, everybody, get in touch with Eddie and wish him the best, and welcome back to the free world. At some point, you'll be completely free, and at least now you're freer than you were before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I say, they're treating me as well as can be expected, and I'm looking forward to going home to Heidi and, you know, with any luck, there may be wedding bells in the future here shortly.
All right. Well, best of luck on that as well.
All righty.